scratch. Okay, so. So. Very nice to be a grandfather. See, between my two granddaughters, I learned all kinds of things this morning about birthdays and belly buttons and fairness, you know, I mean, all kinds of things. All right. Now, kids, when we pray, who are we talking to? Sorry? So we want to show great respect, right? So we wouldn't want to be fooling around when we're talking to God, right? And we would not want to be laughing or doing something like that, because God is a great king. And so we want to show him really a lot of respect. Let's pray. Dear God and Father, we thank you for this Sunday morning and this time we can enjoy together learning wonderful things from your word, the Bible. We pray that we would take it to heart, trust you, believe in you, and that you would change us into the kind of boy or girl you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to talk about Daniel the prophet. If you have your Bible, you can find Daniel.
Hi, Daddy.
Yep, yeah, I got to watch it just. I need quick. All right, so so we're going to look at Daniel. So sometimes I ask kids this question. I want you guys to get really well acquainted with your Bible. Is there any of you boys or girls who do not have a Bible at home or a Bible? You don't have a Bible?
Oh, I do, but
oh, okay. Okay, yeah. So a Bible is a treasure. And what is a greater, what would be a better Bible to have? A brand new, perfect Bible that still has the gold on it, or a well-used Bible that's got wear and tear on it? What's the better treasure, Saria? Yeah, why is that? Why is that better? Yeah. It's been used, and that means that we get into the treasure, right? Yeah, it's, you know, in a gold mine, maybe Corey can help us with this. If, when you go to a gold mine, is the gold just laying right there at the, at, you know, right there for you just to pick up and just walk away? Yeah, Corey is saying no. What do you think you have to do to get the gold, Jenna? What do you think?
We already have to pay a lot of money to pickaxes and mine it.
Oh, you got to get equipment and you have to work.
Dig into the Bible.
Yeah. Okay, you got to dig in the Bible. He's got it. Yeah, you got to dig into the Bible to get it. So I would encourage you, boys and girls, to read your Bible every day. Every day. And you know what they say? If you miss one day, you'll know it. If you miss 2 days, your family will know it. If you miss 3 days, everybody will know it. You know what I'm saying? You get cranky and you start thinking sinful things. God's word cleanses us and washes us clean so that we think more like God. Okay, so Daniel. And Daniel, we're going to find out Daniel had a really bad thing happen to him. Sometimes bad things happen to us, don't they? And but you know what? One thing that they couldn't take away from Daniel, they tried to take some things away from him. Wonderful things in his life that he really loved. But one thing they could not take away from Daniel was his God. God was right there with him the whole time. And if you've got God, you've got the greatest treasure of all. I'd like to tell this story about you, David. When David had his terrible fall, we wondered if he was really with us. And later on, we found out that he could say yes. He couldn't talk. This was yes, and this was no. Okay? So I said, David, am I your brother? went like this. I said, David's talking to me. I said, David, were you born in California? What does that mean? Oh, David. David, were you saved on John 3:16? Were you saved with John 10:9 and Romans 10:13? David, when you die, are you going to heaven? He goes, that was a big yes. That was a big yes. So you see how if you are saved, the devil can't take it from you. People can't take it from you. This world cannot take it from you. It's something that God guards and protects. And once saved, we are God's children. And you can't, if you're born again, you cannot be unborn, can you? Are you able to be unborn? No way, it's impossible, right? Same thing with getting saved. When you get born above by God, He protects that and keeps that. All right, so Daniel was a saved, redeemed man. We just sang about that. Okay, so let's just read together, okay? In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up to Jerusalem and besieged it. All right, we just read about two kings. What are the two kings? What's one? Abby?
Jehoiakim.
Yeah, Jehoiakim. And what was the other king? Yes, Nebuchadnezzar, yeah. One was actually, both of them at this time were bad, both of them. The one, Jehoiakim, should have been good because he had the opportunity to learn all about God in Judah, one of the 12 tribes of Israel. But he wasn't interested. He decided to go a bad way. And so God had to punish Jehoiakim and the people who he was king over at that time. Nebuchadnezzar also was a godless man. He worshipped idols. We're going to see that in a little bit. But anyway, God delivered Judah into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, and he besieged Jerusalem. How many of you have heard of Jerusalem? Okay, that's been an interesting place. It's still with us. We still know it. I was to Jerusalem. And they besieged it. What in the world does that mean? What does it mean to besiege it? What do you think?
Destroyed.
Yep, they did destroy part of it. Abby, what do you think?
Surround the city so that they could not escape.
Oh, you're so smart. I saw you reading it. All right, very good. It means to surround the city so that they could not escape. They were stuck. There was no escape, and they were afraid, very afraid. And Nebuchadnezzar came in with his army, whoops, and the Lord had told his people that this would happen because of their what? What? Why did this happen? Because of their what? Yes?
Sins.
Can you read it again? You're so smart. Okay. Sins. Yep. That was the problem. So let's read way, you don't have to turn here, but in another place in the Bible, in 2 Chronicles, it tells us more about this. It says all the leaders of the priests, and you kids have been learning about the priests, right, in Sunday school? The priests and the people transgressed more and more. What is transgress? Erica? Kind of related. What do you think, Soraya? Like what? Not quite. Anybody else help me on transgress? Big word also. Yeah, it's related to sins. It's breaking the law. Breaking the law of God. And that is sin. So they were doing this, the priests who were supposed to be teaching the law, were breaking the law. That's no good. That would be a hypocrite, right? They were by example in their life, living a bad life. And the people were transgressing more and more. It was just getting worse and worse. And the Lord God of their fathers sent warnings. God is so faithful. He's so good. He says, turn from your wicked ways. Come back to me. But they just just listen. And he sent them by his messengers because he had compassion. He loved his people. You know, God loves you. He loves you. Do you know, he even loved us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. God is so good, and he gives us many opportunities. And before, but they mocked the messengers of God. They despised his words. They said, don't tell us that. I don't want to hear about God. And they made fun of the messengers of God until the wrath of God, of the Lord arose against his people, and there was no remedy. There was nothing else God could do at this time. And so that's why Nebuchadnezzar came. And that's why they have all this trouble. All this happened, it says, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, another prophet. And he said to fulfill 70 years. So they were going to become slaves. Remember, they were slaves in Egypt? Now they were going to go back into slavery. For 70 years, God said how long it would be. It's a good thing that it was only 70 and not 1,000 years, right? I mean, God could do that. But he has compassion on his people, and he has a plan to bring them back. But they needed really a good spanking. That's what they needed. And God used Nebuchadnezzar to give them a good spanking. That's what he did. Yeah. Okay, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. Jehoiakim couldn't save him. No. The armies of Israel couldn't save him. No. And Nebuchadnezzar took them captive. That means they were like slaves. And he took some of the things from the house of God. We've been studying that, haven't we? About like the table of showbread and the altar of incense. The candlestick holder, wonderful things. They took articles from the tabernacle, the temple, and carried them into the land of Babylon. And where did he take those treasures from God's house? Do you see it up there, Abby?
It's the house of his God.
Yeah, the house of his God. What a terrible thing for God's wonderful things. Mr. Raymond showed us these things. To take those things that were for God and to put it in the house of an idol? Awful. So the king commanded his servant, who was in charge of the captives, to bring the young Jewish men in whom there was no blemish. They were really handsome, good-looking guys. And these guys, it says, were not only good-looking, but they were gifted in wisdom. They had knowledge, and they were quick to understand, and they had the ability to serve in the king's palace. And so King Nebuchadnezzar was thinking, boy, I would really like to have some of these young Hebrew slaves to serve me. You know, especially the ones that are smart and good looking. He said, I'd like to have them. And so he began to have them taught in the language and literature of the Chaldeans. Do you know, not only were they slaves, but can you imagine, kids, if an army came in here and bound you with ropes and led you away to a land where they did not even speak our language, and people are talking all around you in another language and you don't even know what they're saying to you? It'd be pretty hard, wouldn't it? Tearing you away from your family. You wonder, where is my mother and my father? And they did terrible things. And so the king thought, well, we'll teach these young boys to be my servants. And I will teach them my language. And I will teach them all about our great learning in the land of Babylon. So then the king commanded that they be given the best food and drink every day and 3 years of school for them. So that at the end of that time, they might serve the king, before the king. So, actually, considering all the horrible things that had happened, don't you think that the Hebrew boys would think, hey, this is all right. We're going to have really good food and really good things to drink. Oh, we're going to be in the royal palace. And we're gonna be in the king's house. Well, actually, maybe this is okay. Maybe this is better than the land of Judah. Is that what they were thinking?
No.
No, they weren't. They were actually quite concerned because this was a land with false gods and things that they knew were wrong. And they were quite concerned about this. So there's the idol that Nebuchadnezzar served, and they probably had other idols, and that's where they took the treasures from the temple and put them in there. Well, there were some Hebrew boys. We don't know exactly how old they were, but they were pretty young. They might have been the age of Ray, or they might have been the age of Carter, somewhere around there. There were four. Daniel, you've heard of Daniel, right? Have you ever heard of Hananiah? Okay, some of you say yes, some say no. How about Mishael? You want to say that? I kind of want to say it. Mishael. Okay, and then there was Azariah. Let's say it.
Azariah.
Yeah, you're talking like a Hebrew. There you go. And so to them, the chief servant, he was called in the Bible the chief eunuch of the king, gave them new names. To Daniel, he gave the name Belteshazzar, and to the others, he gave the names Shadrach. Yeah, Meshach. And what was it? You got it. Those were the new names. These were names after their idols. How embarrassing. How would you like to have a nice Christian name and be given a new name after some dumb idol? Would you be happy about that? It would be very embarrassing.
I think Axe would cut off my own head.
Oh, well, I don't think you know what would happen. It would not go well. All right, so that's how things were. It was not good. It was not good. But Daniel purposed in his heart. Sometimes, you know, our heart thinks. Sometimes our brain thinks, but sometimes our heart thinks. And Daniel was thinking in his heart, there's some things here that the king wants me to do I cannot do. Because God had commands at this time that you could only eat certain foods. Some foods were clean, some foods were unclean, and if you ate the unclean foods, you'd be disobeying God. And Daniel thought, no, I can't do this. All these wonderful foods, they look really good, but if I eat those things, I will be disobeying God. You see, God was more important to Daniel than food. Much more important. And so, with all these things going on in his heart and mind, Daniel went to the servant of the king who was in charge, and he said to the king, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself. He was thinking still that he would not defile himself with the king's food. Let's talk about that. I got ahead of myself a little bit. So, what does defile mean? What does that mean? Have you ever heard that word, boy? Don't yawn, it makes me tired. what does defile mean? Saria? Yeah, it's connected. What do you think?
Sin.
Yeah, if you're defiled, you're probably living in sin, all right? All right, well, let's just think about it. If you get some cheese out of the refrigerator and it's full of mold, would you like to eat that defiled cheese? Would you? If it's just full of mold. Or let's just say that you go into the refrigerator and you get some food out, and it's full of crawling bugs. Bugs all over it. Would you want to just eat that? You could say it's defiled. Do you get what I'm talking about? Defiled. Well, to Daniel, to eat that food sacrificed to the gods, that was defiled food. So this is what he asked. I'm way ahead of myself. Okay. I really need to work on this, on my presentation. Okay. All right. I wanted to just bring this out. This is a little stop in our story for a minute. Where was God in all of this? Now, Daniel is thinking about God, he doesn't want to make himself unclean before God. But you remember now, they were taken as slaves to another land, right? And they were taken far away from Jerusalem and far away from their temple. And so now here they are in this land full of idols with people that were sinful people. And where was God? And sometimes we ask that question. Did you know that? Where is God in all of this? In all this trouble we're having? Where are you, God? You see? And God was right there. They just maybe they didn't know it. But in Ezekiel, another prophet, we read that the glory of the Lord went up from the middle of Jerusalem. That's when all this stuff was happening. The Lord had been in Jerusalem, but when all this stuff was happening, the Lord went up from the middle of Jerusalem and stood on the mountain, which is on the east side of the city. Then the Spirit took up Ezekiel, there's Ezekiel, this is in a dream, and took him up by the Spirit of God into where? Where? Babylon. Is that what you were going to say?
No, I was going to say Egypt.
Oh, it's Babylon. And, boy, wouldn't that be something to fly through the air from Jerusalem to Babylon? The Spirit of God can do things that we can't do, right? And took him, well, that's where Daniel, Meshach, Abednego, and Shadrach, that's where they were, right there. And so God was there, right there with them. And he went to the people who were in captivity. And Ezekiel said, in the vision that I had went up from me, so I spoke to those in captivity of all the things that the Lord had shown me. So Ezekiel shared this vision with his friends in Babylon to encourage them that God is still with us. Wouldn't that be a great thing? A good word. Okay, so anyway, God had not left his people. God still cared for his people, even though he punished them. And in Psalm 86:5, we read, "For you, Lord, are good, and ready to forgive, and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you." All right, back to Daniel. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and goodwill of the chief servants of the king. What did I just say? God had what? Okay, somebody who hasn't answered it. Go ahead, Ellen. Yeah, what does that mean? Anybody else? What does it mean to be brought into good favor with the king? Was the king smiling at them or frowning at them? What do you think? What do you think? Oh, good guess. Smiling? They were in good favor. And why did the king think nice thoughts about them? Gossip? Okay, that's true, but there's another reason. Sorry? Yes. Right there. God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief servants of the king. God was working in the hearts. Can God do that today?
Yes.
Absolutely he can. Absolutely. He can change the heart of people who we are living with in this world, who we come in contact with. And sometimes he can change the hearts of these pretty black-hearted people. Amazing what God can do. Well, so Daniel proposed to the chief servant about his idea about foods. And the chief servant said to Daniel, "I fear my lord the king." He was afraid of Nebuchadnezzar, who commanded your food and drink. You know, he said, "For why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? You would put my life in danger." You see, the chief servant, he was paid and required to take very good care of the Hebrew boys. And if they didn't look nice and, you know, fat and in really good healthy shape, the king could actually take his life. And he told Daniel, he said, if I don't give you these foods and this drink, I'm going to be in trouble. Did Daniel argue with him? No, he was respectful. And he said to the steward of the chief servant who was in charge of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, please test your servants for 10 days and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you. So he said, give us vegetables and test us for 10 days and see how it goes. So he was trusting God, wasn't he? Do you think it worked?
Yes.
So he said yes and tested them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, they looked better and fatter in their appearance than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's food. How can that be? Here they're just eating vegetables and drinking water. And over here, all these people are eating steak and potatoes and chicken and ravioli and ice cream and, oh, you know, all this stuff. And they don't look so good. And over here, they're drinking vegetables and water and they are looking fat and healthy. How can that be? How can that be? What was happening? What do you think? I think so. I think there was a miracle going on here, right? Yes. Okay, so the steward took away their fine food and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables. And as for these four young men, God was going to give them something even better than health. He gave them knowledge and skill in their Babylon school, and he gave them wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Wow. If you ever struggled in math, now if God wanted you to learn that math, he could help you, couldn't he? If you ever struggled in learning the violin, just a little bit. You see, God can give skill in these things, can't he? If you ever struggled in school, okay. Any of you others ever struggle a little bit learning things? All right. Well, you see, God answers prayer. And God had his favor on these four young men to do well. And they did well because God was in it. So at the end of the days, the 10 days, when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief servant of the king brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Oh, this was a big day. They were going before the king, and all this preparation and all this learning and all this eating, now the king was going to test them and see how they were doing. And so they brought them in, and the king talked to them and listened to them. And this includes the Hebrews and the Chaldeans, among all the students in Nebuchadnezzar's school, there was none found like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore, they served before the king. There was nobody to compare to them. They were like the top students. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all his realm. 10 times better. That's amazing. That's amazing. 10 times better. So God was at work. What a blessing to have God with them when they were slaves, when all these things had gone wrong, and yet God made a place for them and blessed them, and they knew he was with them. That's the best treasure of all, to know that God is with us. So, let's go back to this very basic question. Maybe Logan, you can answer this one, okay? Who gave Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego the ability to learn so much?
God.
Good. And why did the Lord keep them safe? Yeah.
Because he loved them.
Yeah. What do you think?
He loved them.
had work for them to do, and he wanted them to stay healthy and ready for the things he was going to have them do.
Very good. What do you think?
Because he obeyed. They obeyed him and did what he
said. Excellent. Very good. Good answers, all of you. Here's a proverb. Now, don't cry. All right. For the Lord gives wisdom. The Lord gives wisdom. He gives knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. That means for those who obey him. He gives these things to those who obey him. He protects those who walk uprightly. Those who walk in God's ways, he protects. He watches over. He guards the path, that would be the way you go, of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Are you a saint? You know, if you're a believer in Jesus, you are called in the Bible a saint. You're a saint. He guards the way, preserves the way of his saints. All right. Let's pray. Okay, remember when we pray, we're talking to God. Dear God, Father, I just pray for all of our young boys and young girls here and all of us in this room, that we would walk uprightly, that we would fear you and do your will. And Father, I pray that you would help us do what is right in your eyes, to trust you and to know that you are with us and that you are a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And Lord, we are thankful that you are a faithful God and that you love us and show compassion upon us. I pray that we would learn from this story of these four young men who dared to ask to do something different than what the king commanded, because they regarded you as a greater king. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would show great respect to you as we live our life. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen.
I haven't really figured it out.
So you kind of turn this side.